Thank you. It is a real joy, a blessing, a privilege, and an honor to be able to be here another Sunday morning. We're thankful for the Lord's mercy, His compassion, His grace, His goodness, His kindness toward us and toward mankind itself. If His mercies weren't anew every morning, His compassion never failed, we'd all be consumed. Man in his very best state, his very best condition, is altogether vanity. We're depraved from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet, shaping iniquity and born in sin, not a just man, not a righteous man, upon all the face of the earth. All we like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord Jesus has laid the iniquities all upon Him, and by His stripes you're healed. The healing balm, the chief physician, is the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is no other way from earth to heaven, to enter into heaven itself, except through the door, and Jesus is the door, the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by Him. He's the Son of God, God Almighty reincarnate in a human body. God became man. Bible said it behooved Him to be made like an under His brethren. He came down and took of His bitter cup, tasted of death every man, woman, and boy and girl, sacrificed Himself. He was a lamb without spot, a lamb without blemish, foreordained before the foundation of the world. Before the world ever was, He was in the very beginning. God Almighty made provision for the sin of mankind. God knew, then God didn't ordain it. God didn't will it. God didn't want it. God hates sin, but man made a choice. He made a bad choice. He transgressed. He disobeyed God's laws, His word, and sinned, and chose to sin, and fell in sin, and of course sin had to be atoned for. A great price that man couldn't pay with himself. Man's very best state, altogether vanity. We're wretched, vile, depraved, wicked, by birth and undone. Shaping iniquity and born in sin. Not a just man, not a righteous man upon all the face of the earth. All we like sheep have gone astray. But the Lord has laid iniquity, and it's all upon Him. And by His stripes you're healed. That's the only way you'll get to heaven is through the door. And Jesus is the door. You better pay attention and take heed. Not but one door that leads to heaven. Not but one way, and Jesus is the way. Now I know there's a lot of ways to get places here on this earth. A lot of different avenues and ways of transportation that you can take to accomplish it is wherever you may be desiring to go. That's this world, but I'm talking about going to heaven. There's not but one way from earth to heaven, and that's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood made the atonement for our sins. He that knew no sin became sin. Thank God for you and I that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. If you want to be made righteous or right in the sight of God Almighty, it'll be blooded through His atoning blood. Bible said outside the shedding of the blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness of sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank God for His healing powers and His atoning blood that He offered up at Calvary. He entered in, the Bible says, inside the veil, inside the holiest of holies, by the new and the living way, which He, that's Jesus, has consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, His flesh. He became sin on our behalf. He knew no sin, but yet He took upon Himself our sins, bore our sins in His own body on the tree, died and gave up the ghost, and rent the veil from top to bottom, made the way into the holiest of holies by the new and the living way, which He, that's Jesus, has consecrated for us through the veil. And beloved, He's a great high priest, a great mediator between God and man, that man being Christ Jesus. He's the only potentate, the only authority, the only name that God recognizes, the only name under heaven given among men, where all the world must be saved. He's the Savior. He's the Son of the living God. He's God reincarnate in a human body. God became man. Beloved, He got in the likeness of sinful flesh, yet He knew no sin, but became sin for you and I, and might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, if you get to heaven, you'll have to come through the door, and He'll have to get in the way. He's in the way. He's the way, beloved, the truth and the life. And no man, nobody come to the Father but by Him. Nobody's going to come to God Almighty except through Him, because He is the living way. He's the bread of life, came down to have come from heaven down to the sin cursed earth, beloved, to make an atonement for our sins. And He paid that price when He died and gave up the ghost at Calvary, and beloved, sin has been settled. The price for sin has been settled. And the way has been made, thank God, and the price has been paid, and you can come boldly, if that is with confidence and assurance, beloved, if you'll come with a broke heart and a contrite spirit, and you'll call on Him, you'll ask Him to have mercy upon you, a sinner. And they're not tongue in cheek, but out of your heart, the depth of your heart, that is the depth of your soul. You must come with a broke heart and a contrite spirit. The Bible said the sacrifice of God is a broke heart and a contrite spirit. That's a sacrifice that God cannot and will not despise. God will save you. and forgive you, and place your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be blotted out. If you come to Him, just like you are, you're remorse, you're broke, you're contrite. Now, I'm not talking about being sorrowful at sin caught up with you. That'll bring sorrow, right? That'll bring death as well. But I'm talking about sorrow that you sin against God. Willing to give up yourself and your will, all the will of God, and ask God to have mercy upon you, a sinner, and desire Him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sin, accept Him as your personal Savior. But if you'll do that, that's what it means when it said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it said, how they're going to call on Him? How they're going to believe without heard? How they're going to hear without a preacher? How they're going to preach except they be sent? Let me, it's got to take somebody who's got light in them, who's got the Spirit of living God inside them, beloved, to share the good news of the glorious gospel of Christ. How can you share something you don't know anything about, you don't possess within yourself? That's impossible, beloved. You've got to be born again. You've got to be born of a new nature, a divine nature, God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what Jesus said. That's not what just I said. I'm repeating and I'm preaching about what the Lord Jesus said to a very, very religious, I believe a devout man. A member of the Sanhedrin court, a man who was one of the rulers of the Jews, and beloved, he knew was lacking something. Something he knew was missing inside him. He defended the Lord Jesus and sent unto the rest of the Pharisees and the elders. He said, does our law condemn a man before it has a chance to hear him? Of course, they belittled him over it, but he came to Jesus by night. Of course, he came. I believe he had good intentions. I believe he thought he was all right, but he, of course, wasn't positive because he didn't have any assurance. He never had been converted. He knew something was missing. So he came to Jesus by night. By the way, the Lord Jesus said to him, verily, verily, surely, surely, I say unto you, except the man be born again, he cannot, will not enter into the kingdom of God. So he wrestled with that statement. He said, now wait a minute, I'm an old man. How in the world can I enter back into my mother's womb a second time and be born? And Jesus said, I'm not talking about a fleshly birth. That's a water birth. You've got to be born of water, all right, and of the Spirit of God. That's a second birth. That is the Lord from heaven. We've been born in this world and out of your mother's womb. That's a water birth. But you're born to water, right? Born a fleshly birth. And then you've got to be born of a spiritual birth, a divine birth. God must be, or Christ must be born in you. His Spirit must get alive in you, beloved, and He cannot and will not. You repent of your sins. He will not force you. He will not make you, beloved, get saved. This is all free will. God gives us opportunity to make choices. You're going to give an account for your choices that you make, and so will I. All of us are going to stand before the Lord one day after a while. I'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ where all the born-again believers, the church will stand. We'll give an account for every deed done in the body, good or bad. Paul said, therefore, knowing the tear of the Lord, we persuade men, beloved, and you're not going to be decided as to where you go to heaven or not in that day. We'll already be in heaven, we that are saved. We'll stand before Him to give an account for the way we conducted ourselves. The time we got saved to the time we get out of here. We're going to answer to our needs and our labors and our stewardship. Beloved, how we've conducted ourselves as believers. Now, if you're an unbeliever and you miss heaven, you miss repentance, you miss being born again, you'll stand at the white throne judgment in Revelation. It said, the sea gave up their dead, death and hell. Now, death is where the body is, and hell is where the soul is for those that die in sin. And they were raised up, and they stood at the white throne judgment, and the books were opened, and another book, which is the book of life, loving it, said, their names not found recorded in the book of life, and these were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. That's an eternal death. He said, it's an unquenchable fire. The smoke of the torment, he said, ascend it up heaven ever, and there'll be no rest day nor night. God have mercy on you. You don't want to miss heaven. You don't want to go to hell. Hell's eternal. As long as heaven is with Jesus, hell's just the right. The opposite, it's eternity. It's forever as well. God help you not to die in sin and go to hell. You don't have to. Jesus died on your behalf. He paid the price for sin. He sacrificed Himself. He gave Himself freely, beloved, that we might have life, everlasting life, and have it more abundant. Now, there's an abundant life for the Christian who'll pay the price of dedication and separation after he's been saved. If he'll walk where the vocation wherewith he's been called, he'll lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets him. He might be able to run the race with patience that's set before him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of his faith. What he started, he'll finish it. He just needs to consecrate, separate, and dedicate himself to service. And if he'll do that, he'll have that sweet fellowship. Listen to me. Everybody saved got a relationship. We are citizens. We have a citizenship, and our citizenship's in heaven. Beloved, we're strangers, sojourners, and pilgrims down here. We're just passing through. This world's not our home, beloved. It's a temple place. Paul said, everything that you now see, he said, it's temporal. It's going to perish and pass away. But the things that are unseen, they're eternal, beloved. And we can't see those kind of things with a natural eye, but we look at those things through the eyes of faith, and so we see them in God's blessed word. The Bible said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Again, how are they going to hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? God's got to save a person, qualify and justify him through his atoning blood, have been educated in his word, beloved, and send him out to bring the good news of the glorious gospel of Christ to the lost and dying world. How the world needs a real preaching. God have mercy. The churches, all denominations are flooded with hirelings and wolves in sheep clothing. Beloved, they're not real. They're just in there to make a profession out of it. It's not a calling. And of course, some of them are sincere. They're just sincerely wrong. They don't know him as a personal savior. But the multitudes of them, beloved, they're in it for what they get out of it. God have mercy on those phonies, beloved, those wolves in sheep clothing, those dumb dogs that can't bark. All they're doing is just howling. All they're doing is tickling people's ears and flattering him and telling what they want here to get to their back pockets. God have mercy, and the woods are full of cheap. I'm talking about cheap, rotten, wretched, bowed, and prayed people, beloved, whose God is their belly, who glory in their own shame, beloved. They're not saved, but I'm glad the Bible said the Lord knoweth them that are his. They may fool man, but they don't fool God. God's got an identity tag on every one of his children, beloved, and we that have been saved by the grace of God have the earnest of the Spirit living inside us, that is, God in us, Christ in us, hope and glory. The Bible said, any person without the Spirit of Christ, any man without the Spirit of Christ, is none of his. Beloved, and when you get born again, you're born of a new nature, a divine nature, he gets born in you, the Spirit of God takes up his abode inside you, and you can't be saved and not know it. That's a total, absolute total impossibility. There's no end to God's heaven you can be saved, beloved, and not know it. The Bible said, you know you pass from death unto life. That means you know you've been saved. God gives you love for the brethren, for the blessed book, and for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit of God. You love this Bible, you love his presence, You love to live for him, beloved. You just love everything that he represents. And beloved, that's what happened to you when you have a new nature, divine nature. It gets alive in you, it transforms you, changes you, quickens you. The Bible said it make you alive. In Ephesians chapter 2, it said, ye who were dead, that's past tense, ye who were dead in trespass and sin, you have been quickened and made alive. I've been quickened, thank God, by the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. I was a dead sinner, dead in trespass and sin, but 47 wonderful years ago, he transformed me, changed me. He gave me everlasting life. And I've been enjoying, praise God, this wonderful, glorious, complete, pure, perfect salvation for 47 wonderful years. And I am what little bit I am. That's not much of nothing, but he's everything to me, only by the grace of God. Now see, my time just about gone right to us. Pray for us, and God bless you. It's our prayer in his name. Amen.